If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day super sale, September 19th through the 22nd. With 40% off our great paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to Fire Talk Radio, teaching the unfiltered word of God with the anointing of his spirit, with subjects on eternity and the choices we make that determine our eternal destiny. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fire Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me tonight on Fire Talk Radio. Whatever part of the world you're listening from, I'm so excited that you're here with us tonight. And tonight we have a special treat. Karen Sumrall, wife of Dr. Frank Sumrall, is going to be bringing us a special word tonight filled with power and the anointing and of the Holy Ghost, and I'm really looking forward to it. Karen is a mighty woman of God, and we go to church together, and I know she has a heart for people and a heart for souls and a love for God and the Word of God and to teach His Word to people. And so with no further ado, I'm going to hand it over to you, Karen Sumrall. Sister Karen, you take it away and take your liberty in the Holy Ghost. I'm looking forward to this message tonight. Karen?
Amen. 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 Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bro, we appreciate that. As Deborah says, my name is Karen Sumrall, and I'm married to Frank Sumrall, a great and mighty man of God. And I'm pleased to be here to share this teaching that God gave me a few years ago about this great story in John 4. And I minister under the mantle of Frank Sumrall. I'm so thankful God allowed me to teach his awesome words to help others in this hurting world. I also want to thank Deborah with Fire Talk Radio and allowing us this great honor to minister the gospel of Jesus, hallelujah, through this radio station. She's been such a blessing to Brother Frank and I'm thankful to God for her. This is an open door that other ministers should be so aware of, that this gospel may be preached around the world, as Jesus said in his word. Because we know when his word is preached around the world, he's coming back for us, and that's exciting. Hallelujah. Frank will be back on Monday. He gives his love. He'll be back here on Fire Talk, teaching healing is the children's bread. He's working the kingdom now. So please continue prayer for him, and we thank you so much. Let's just pray, okay? Father, thank you tonight for those that are joining in for this great word that you've given to go across the airwaves. It's your word. It's nobody's word but your word. We're so thankful, Father, and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Father God, that you will take this word into the hearts of every man, woman, and child listening. And Father, that you will raise them up out of the ashes in their spirit, soul, and body, anything, Father, that being in their hearts. We thank you for setting the captives free. Amen. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. It all belongs to you. We exalt you mightily tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, what I'm going to teach about tonight is in John 4, like I said, and it's a touch of heaven on earth. And as I said, the woman at the well is such a powerful story. Thousands and thousands of people throughout the generations has taught on this wonderful woman at the well. And every time I read it, every time I talk about it, there's something new that God always reveals, because his word is living and powerful and active, and it's sharper and a two-edged sword, and it pierces through the hearts of man. And so when we read the word of God, it comes alive in us, and we thank him that his word is dwelling within our hearts. Amen. So I want to read in John 4:1, and I want to read the story because it's very important to read the story of God. read what he has, sometimes before, which this one will go back a little bit, and sometimes afterwards. So we're thankful for the Word of God. Now, chapter 4, 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." Verse 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria." I want you to watch that, because he must needs, there's destiny pointing there. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey," how many knows that in our bodies we can become weary, in our spirit we can become weary, in our souls we can come weary. But Jesus sat down because in his physical body this day his body was weary, and we thank the Lord that he gives us strength. Amen. "He sat down thus on the well, as it was about the sixth hour," which means 12, about noontime. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples was gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Hallelujah. "The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." He said she told the truth. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what, but you know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, and now is, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." 25. The woman said unto him, "I know that Messiah has cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Hallelujah. "And unto this came his disciples." Upon this came his disciples. "And marvel that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what speakest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came upon him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto him, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal, like eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are not entered into their labors. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So then the Samaritans were coming to him. They besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, hallelujah. You know, without anything saying, just knowing that they knew. Isn't it amazing that they knew, the Samaritans, the sinners, the lost of the world, knew that he was the Messiah, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all them that had been around him did not know that he was the Savior of the world. Oh, hallelujah. So, as at the woman at the well, how many times have we read this story been taught on her? And today, I just want us to set our hearts on a few different thoughts of this nameless woman. Isn't it amazing? She's nameless. She's talked about, taught, you know, preached about all around the world. I think it's amazing. She's nameless, and she is some kind of woman. And I tell you what, she's one of my favorite when I get to heaven after Jesus. I want to meet this nameless woman at the well. Now, let's start out by reviewing where Jesus had been before. He set out for an encounter before he set out with this encounter with this woman of ill repute. In John 3, if you go back, it says Jesus had been in Judea. His disciples had been baptizing some folk. John the Baptist spoke his last words here. Then, in chapter 4, 1, by the gift of word of knowledge, that lies were being told on him. Isn't that amazing? So he had to leave Judea and come to Galilee. Now, verse 4 gives us a great revealing of being led by divine order of God. He must needs go through Samaria. Once you get to that in your spirit, because sometimes God's going to have you. You must need to stop at the 7-Eleven. You must need go to Walmart and speak life into it. You must need do this. Our church is full of soul winners, and they are constantly testifying of how they must need stop at this basketball game and lead the whole basketball team to the Lord. Amen? That's amazing. That is amazing. So we must need be ready to hear from the Spirit of God. And as he heard that word of knowledge from the Lord, he knew that he must need to stop there. There is something there that he had to stop. There's at least two reasons Jesus made this three-day journey to Samaria, because it was divinely directed, and we all needed to learn something about this famous, nameless woman. Amen? Now, I want you to say to whoever's with you, or say to yourself, hello, thank God for detours in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank God for the detours. You know, not too long ago, I stopped at the dollar store on the way home. I didn't want to. I wanted to come on home. I wanted to get my shoes off. I wanted to just rest a few minutes and talk to my husband. And I stopped down there, and I ran into two women who needed a jump. I didn't know the women. Gave them a jump. We started talking. I said, bless you. They said, oh, we're blessed. Got to talking. Come to find out, they go to my church. And so we're talking. Well, out comes someone God had highlighted. You know, we talked to her, and this woman needed Jesus. Her sister needed Jesus. She was, she had been backslidden. Her husband kept saying, let's go to church, let's go to church. She wouldn't listen to her husband, but you know what? He must needs, God sent us all there and highlight this woman's life because she needed to give her heart to Jesus. Amen? So never be in a hurry, because you don't know, you must need to stop and let the kingdom of God touch someone on earth. Amen? Being led by the Spirit of God, Jesus brought his he brought his kingdom of heaven to the woman at the well. It was a very blessed day for this woman. Now, it's interesting that this town's name, a little history here, is Sychar. This name means, in the Hebrew, drunkenness and falsehood. Drunkenness and lies. How many want to live in a city named for drunks and liars? Amen? So this was a woman, was already a woman of ill repute, and lived in a city of reproach. Life probably seemed hopeless for her in some areas of her life. It probably didn't matter at that point in time that you had five husbands, whatever the reason may be. It didn't matter. You know, you lived in a city called drunks and liars. Amen? So thank God that he brought heaven to earth through his son that day. Hallelujah. Now Jesus came and he sat down at Jacob's well. As Jesus was sitting there waiting and waiting, how long he waited, it doesn't say. We're not told. But he knew in his spirit she was coming to the well. Hallelujah. How many times in Scripture do you see Jesus ministering to a single woman? Well, if you go over to John 8, let's go there a little bit. John 8, just a few chapters over. Hallelujah. In John 8, we know that Jesus met someone that day. And it starts in verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, early in the morning, I never read that till recently, early in the morning, here they come. Here they come, the ones accusing and judging. Here they come. He came unto the temple that morning, and all the people came to him. He sat down and talked to him. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. So they must have had to wait till Jesus got there and probably held her bound till he got there. So they knew some of his movements at that time, not all of them. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He ignored him with every reason in the world too. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they, isn't that amazing? He did it twice. We don't know what he wrote. Someday we'll see this recording of what he wrote. But he wrote something twice. They didn't get it the first time. So you know what? Jesus got down there again and wrote it again. This time they got the message. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up. That's what he said. Let him cast that first stone. And they which heard it being convicted, they were convicted by their own conscience. Hallelujah. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. She was standing all alone, naked, standing there, shameful, caught in the very act of adultery. Who can imagine how she felt in her heart? But you know what? Jesus did not condemn her. What did he say to her? When he lifted himself up, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Isn't that special? That woman thought she was going to get stoned that day. And, you know, I read about some stoning recently, and I didn't know that what all, you know, I just thought they picked up rocks, threw them at them. You know, where I come from in West Virginia, it's a known thing. You got to be the best rock thrower when you're a little kid, because that's what we did. We threw rocks. Not a good thing to do, but I tell you what, a rock hurts. I got many of them, and I tell you, they hurt. But I heard that they take and they put them off like in a drop-off, and they throw a large stone. They aim it at their chest, try to crush the life out of them. And then if that person didn't die then, they just kept throwing the stones. And everybody was involved. so no one had to carry the guilt of doing that. It was a horrible way to die. That woman faced that day. According to the law, she faced that day. Thank God. We're thanking God today for his mercy. We're thanking him for his grace, and we're thanking him that he set her free that day. Hallelujah. He had another destiny for this woman, as he does with this woman. Now, this woman came out at the well at noontime. It's hot. It's hot. I wonder why she came out. I pondered, why did this woman come out at noontime? You know, why didn't she go early? Why didn't she go in the evening? And I think that the Holy Ghost gave me some concepts to think about her. I don't know if they're, you know, if that's what happened, but I know the Holy Ghost talked to me. I wrote down what he gave me, and I tell you, it just made me think about things. Maybe she had had a fight with the number six man. Maybe her heart was broken. I'm sure after five husbands, your heart's broken. Maybe he accused her of many things. Maybe he had gotten drunk, abused her verbally, physically. Maybe the town folk treated her so bad. They gossiped about her. They were backbiting. They slandered her. She couldn't go anywhere. If she went anywhere, there was talk going on about her. Maybe they shunned her. Remember, in this era of life, women just did not live with men. Nowadays, it's accepted, and everybody thinks that Christians should accept it. And I tell you what, now, there's no condemnation here. If we've done it and sinned, we're forgiven, and God's forgiven us, and our life and our slate from the Lord is clean. Amen? So we're not going back there for that. But this woman was a true fornicator. The dog's a dog. Could she possibly hate her life at sin, of sin? Was she at wit's end with her family treating her bad over her lifestyle, her horrible reputation? At wit's end. It's a terrible place to be. And I'm sure a lot of us have been there. And some of you may be there now, but I got great news for you. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the Redeemer. Glory to God. And picture her going there at the well, wanting to be alone in her thoughts, in her pain, in her suffering. As she walks there, she's so desperate for new direction. She needs a touch of heaven on earth. Nothing else will do. And how many of us can relate? How many of us need that touch from heaven? Even now, we need that touch of heaven on earth. He knows our hearts, and he knows where we're at. Amen. I believe our loving Father heard this woman's heart cry. He heard her despair. Because remember, when you read that chapter 4, this woman knew about the Messiah. She knew he was coming, and she even perceived that he was a prophet. Now, once again, it's amazing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees never perceived that. All the learning they had, all the teaching, hours each day, they start out when they're very little. They're taught. The rabbis are taught. That's all they do. They never perceived that he was the Son of the living God. And you know that day that the Father heard her despair and her cry, he sent Jesus to impart and impact woman's life with his glory and love. Somebody shout hallelujah. He imparted to her and he impacted her life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's two cultures here. There's the Jews who were supreme in that day and the Samaritans who were the dogs. And as we just learned, they were the drunks and the liars too, because they named the city after that. The whole history of Samaritan and Samaria is very interesting. It's a very interesting study. It's too long to go into. But they were like Iraq after Israel. I mean, they were so nasty, you know. They just thought, people thought they were just the dogs. So it's interesting. The liar and drunks were there. Imagine Jesus stopping there. What would the religious folk think? Oh, my gosh. If they knew where Jesus had went in his travels, they only knew some of his travels. If they had known where he went in his travels, oh, my goodness. And let's think about some places that we know that are not so good to live in, a place of ill repute, where people go. Who goes there? What to preach? Who preaches to the homeless? Oh, yeah, everybody wants to do a mission trip. I want to go here, I want to go there. And they're dying by the thousands upon thousands right out our back door, not 2 miles from our house. Amen? Not 10 miles from our house. Oh, somebody's got to have a pulpit. Got to have a pulpit. You know, they're dying and hurting. I thank God that Jesus went into those lost, those that nobody else would go to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with going on mission trips. There's nothing wrong in going to other countries. I love that, and I'd love to do more of it. But I'm talking about me, too. Amen. I'm preaching to myself. But Jesus went where the Father sent him. That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we going where the Father's sending us? Are we going to them? Are we going to our workplace? Are we talking to those? Amen. Are we going when we go and somebody says, I wish I could do this. I wish my foot didn't hurt. I wish my headache would go away. That's the time. That's the open door. Do we catch it, or are we just catching ourselves on, oh, they don't want prayer? We got to be very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, John 4:34, Jesus told him, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me to finish his work. We must be about our Father's work. We must be. So Jesus went that day, said at the well, change this woman's life. We never did read in the story if Jesus received a drink in the natural, but in the supernatural, he gave her an eternal drink, the living water. And as the Bible says, it is the gift of God. It's a gift of God. It freely flows into the lives of others. We just have to be the vessels that God uses to take that water to the others. That's why our belly is the living well of water coming forth, the spirit of the living God coming forth, listening to our spirit. The spirit of the man is in the inward parts of our belly, constantly talking to us, constantly reminding us of his love, directing our footsteps wherever he would want us to go. I want this living water eternally, don't you? Now, by verse 15, this woman's spirit was awakened. Let's go over to Ephesians 1:18. I love Ephesians chapter 1. It's just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal scripture for me. And in Ephesians 1:18, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding been enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. Her eyes were enlightened. You know, we got saved, our eyes were enlightened. You know, the Spirit of the living God came and dwelled in us. The Spirit of the living God dwelling in us, our eyes become enlightened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. The hope of his calling. You know what? She might have not known what her destiny was that day, but by the time Jesus Christ left her city of Sychar, she knew what her destiny was. She had been touched by heaven that day. And I know that there are thousands upon thousands that their eyes need to be enlightened, hallelujah. And God wants to use each and every one of us to do that. Her heart came alive to King Jesus. She almost begged him. You can hear her. I can hear her in the spirit. Give me this water. Give me this water. Amen. She wanted that living water, hallelujah. But there's a condition here. There were always is a condition for change. Amen. She needed a heart change. Amen. Before Jesus could give her all she needed and set her free, she had a choice to make. What was her choice to make? She had to give up her past. Hallelujah. How many of us been down that road? And some are still clinging on to their past. And sometimes it takes months and months and years to release the total past to Jesus Christ. But hallelujah. I pray after today in the word of the living God that you will give your past up to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't just bring up her past to show, to make her embarrassed. Like he didn't make the woman that was adulterer in chapter 8 of John embarrassed. He didn't stand there and embarrass her. And he didn't embarrass this woman by saying, oh, yeah, I know you had five husbands. And, honey, the one you're with now you're not married to. Oh, no, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't bring up her past to condemn her. Oh, no. He brought up her past to set her free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All he wanted was that her life's failure be dropped at his feet and that pain and the sorrow. Hallelujah. And she would be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It never will be Jesus' intention. If somebody comes to you and tries to prophesy over you, I'm telling you right now by the Spirit of Living God, if they try to prophesy to you, if they try to speak to you and bring up your past, I don't care if it's mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, aunt, uncle, you tell them to go in the name of Jesus. You've been set free. Because you know what? Jesus don't bring up your past, and nobody else should bring it up either. Hallelujah. And you tell that devil, get behind thee, and the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Hallelujah. It'll never be. When you have thoughts of that, it's not Jesus. Hallelujah. His purpose then and today is life eternal. By giving up your past, your sorrows, your bondages, a past mistake, to show his love and forgiveness, a better life for us. Amen? A better life. Her past was brought up to heal her heart for forgiveness, his mercy and love. Not that he was and he is a great prophet who could surely read your mail. Never, ever to embarrass. He revealed the inner healing, the deep wounds that we all have, and we keep buried in the chambers of our heart. We bury them in the chambers of our heart that can infest and bring about some ugly fruit in your heart if you don't let Jesus have all of it. I feel by the Spirit of Living God that there's some of you out there, you're holding on. You can't let go. The devil's condemning you every day. And I tell you by the Spirit of Living God, you are set free now by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ugly, not forgiving yourself, becomes roots of bitterness. That's why people are hateful and they self-hate. They're unloving, full of anger. It's fruit of the enemy. It's not our Father's love. Hallelujah. You know that I did it, when I did a study of this, that there was 70% of women, 70% of women molested by the age of 18. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm sure that number's higher now. That was before the awful things that's going on in our world today, the awful things with children and everything. 70%. That is so awful. Pray for that. Pray against that in the name of Jesus. I believe this woman carried these fruits, these ugly fruits. She had been used, abused, unloved, lied to have this many husbands in that day. This woman had no right. Now, if you go over to Deuteronomy, I want you to go over there to 24:1-4. I want you just to read why it was so important. By the laws of Moses in those days, this was a law that people, that men had over women. And 24:1-4. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, okay, I don't like you no more, your hair's turning gray, okay, you're drooping, He gained a little bit too much weight for my pleasing. No favor in his eyes, not God's eyes, in the man's eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. You know, the man was her support back then. This woman had five men, five husbands that supported her and sent her out of the house. Maybe some of them died. I don't know. We don't know the story. Maybe she didn't have any sent out. We don't know. And when she is departed out of the house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, for if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, God had reasons for this. There was reasons for every law that he put through in the dispensation of the law. There was reasons for every law that he did. And this law, Moses did it. Why? Jesus told us in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, go over there. I like a lot of scripture to study, amen. It's not mine, it's the Lord's word. It'll always be the Lord's word, hallelujah. Now, Moses, in verse 8, Matthew 19, verse 8, or 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? But, you know, these were the crazy men asking, well, whose wife is this going to be? Like that, what they were acting like they were some big scholars and going to trap Jesus in something. And the Lord told him why. Moses gave this. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, man's heart, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marries her, which is put away, doth adultery. And why is that still in red? Because it still pollutes the land. And this is not about any condemnation for any of us right now. It's about being set free. Amen? It's always going to be about being set free. That's why. It was because of the hardness of man's heart. Because, you know, they were probably throwing them out and this and that and the other, and marrying them one night and going and getting another one, saying, you got to go out of my house. You know, that's what happened. And so Moses had to write a law about it. So they were abusing the women. Amen? And he saw that if he did not permit divorce, many women could suffer untold hardships from ungodly men. The main point here is women had no rights. This woman, as I said, has been abused, and maybe even things with five husbands we could not even imagine. Major rejection. And probably thought this man Jesus that was sitting there at first, him sitting there on the well, of Jacob's well, she probably thought he was trying to pick her up. What else did man want from her? That's what she had with five husbands and living with the one she had now. Oh, but somebody say the encounter at the well. Hallelujah. Her eyes opened and she perceived he was a prophet of God. So she had some religious teaching. She knew about Jacob's well. Now, there's a whole other story in here and a whole other teaching about Jacob's well right there. There was a lot in there, and it wasn't just for us to pass by because Jesus decided to sit there because his body was weary. There's a whole other story about why it was Jacob's well and the generations that came through there, amen? And again, that goes into that teaching with Samaria, if you ever do that. She knew, this woman knew of prophets. She knew a Messiah was coming. She tried to she tried to change the subject with Jesus, change that subject, and distract him about the mountains of worship. Now, we know Jesus let her go there for a minute, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what he was going to do. But he said, okay, I'll answer some of your questions. But she's asking about these mountains of worship. and how it's been forbidden and this mountain and that mountain. But the one thing I want to tell you about the mountain was it was Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Now, Mount Gerizim was a blessing and Mount Ebal was a cursing. And that's why it was so intriguing to her to find out from this prophet at that time, she thought he was, about what he was saying about it. It's about the between the Jews and the Samaritans. She thought he would get his opinion. And Jesus told her in verse 22, "Ye worship know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Prophet of old had told that the Messiah would be of Jewish descent. Therefore, verse 26 blows her away when he said, "I that speak unto thee am him." Hallelujah. I am him. He is the Messiah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Now let's enter the disciples who marveled. Their rabbi was talking to a Samaritan woman. They did not get that. They just could not get it. They didn't say anything because they knew the rabbi, and they knew he did what he wanted, when he wanted, where he wanted, and they knew he was the Son of God. That was the main thing. They had been out getting food for the body. Now, a rabbi was not allowed to ever talk to women on the street in public, including their own wives or their daughters or their sisters. So imagine their inward indignation. They probably thought, well, I never. They did that a lot with Jesus, hallelujah, because he was radical. Hallelujah, and he calls us to be radical too, amen? Jesus crossed every law, every barrier to speak personally to this woman at the well, bringing heaven to earth to her. Hallelujah, that day he brought heaven to earth to her. Now, God had a promise to the backslider. If you go over to Jeremiah, I want you to go over to Jeremiah 3. The wonderful book of Jeremiah. Love the book of Jeremiah. Been studying a lot in that lately. So I want you to go over to Jeremiah 3. Hallelujah. 3 and 14. And Jesus said, "Oh, turn, all backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." I want you to grab a hold of this scripture, and I want you to write it down. I want you to put it in your spirit. And when your family and those you love and those you know you want to be saved, that have been saved, the backslider, and I want you to remember that Jesus is married to them. Amen? He's married to them. Glory to God. He's not forgotten the backslider. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's never forgotten the backslider. He loves us. How the enemy wants us so distracted in our past. But, oh, our daddy is good to us. He's going to take care of us no matter our past, no matter what we've done. He's forgiven us when we call upon his holy name. And he hears our cry. He's forgiven us. Amen. And he loves us, and he loves that backslider. And you know what? So should you. Oh, my goodness. I just, you know, when somebody, a famous movie star just committed suicide, I had Christian folk upset saying, well, he went to hell because he killed himself. You know what? I think that's a horrible, that somebody would rather put somebody in hell than heaven. Oh, they need to go read some Job. They need to go read some Job and find out who God is. And it's not them. Who are we to put judgment on people where they went? Only the good Lord above, the Holy Ghost, and Father God know where they went. And for people to guesstimate and assume, and we know what assume does, hallelujah, don't assume. You know what? You better pray. Oh, God, I pray they had a chance to call upon the name of Jesus, because that's what my Bible tells me in Romans 10:8. Calling up on the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. So many preachers out there condemning this one, condemning that one. You know what? He didn't call us to condemn from the pulpit. Now, we can't be straightened out and not believe a bunch of junk about, I just posted about three people in other countries calling themselves Christ. They are the Christ. You know what? You got to be alarmed, these yo-yos. Amen? You got to be alarmed. But I'm telling you, not to judge. You're not to judge. Don't get me started there. Hallelujah. We're not going to judge. We're going to believe the best. The Bible says to believe the best in people, to believe the best, not the worst in them. Because you know what? We can hang everybody up to dry and scrutinize everything they've ever done in their life. But what about when we're hung up? What happens then? What about all them skeletons rolling out the closet when you open the door? Glory to God. Thank God for his forgiveness. Amen. Thank God. Thank God he saved this woman at the well. Thank God he saved me. And thank God he saved you. No matter what her past was, when she was enlightened to this liberty, oh, glory to God, she started praising her God. She went into her city. Jesus taught her in verse 23, you're going to worship in the Spirit, and you're going to worship in truth. And you're free from all entanglement. You're free of all bondage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're free of all bondage. Amen. Glory to God. Telling you he is a good God. And I just want y'all to know how tonight how good he is. Amen, amen. Now, I tell you, I want you to look over a little bit. This is the enlightenment that the Lord gave me this time on this woman at the well. You know, when the disciples came back and Jesus told them, they said, you know, Master, won't you just go ahead and eat? And he says, oh, but I have need to eat that you know not of. How many of you out there want a soul to the kingdom of God? I'm telling you what, if you could do that 24 hours and they were just coming in and going left and right, I'm telling you what, you wouldn't be concerned about no food. You know why? Because there's no greater feeling than leading someone to Jesus Christ. The exhilaration of knowing that that soul's name, the angel just wrote it in the book of life. Hallelujah. And you know what? You were the vessel. Not that we're anything. But you know what? God used us. He honored us that we could even bring that soul in. Hallelujah. He honored us for that. And Jesus told him, he said, I'm eating some meat. You don't, boys, you don't even know what I know. You ain't been where I've been yet. But you're going to go. You're going to go there and you're going to know then. Because, you know, they retraced back to this day at the woman at the well. They probably remembered. The Holy Ghost reminded them. Oh, then they bit on the meat. See, they were drinking some milk when they would hang around Jesus. But when they went out and they went here and they went there and they were sent into all the nations, they ate some meat now. They ate some meat. And that was their life. Because you know what? Jesus taught them that this is my life. And when you go out, go ye therefore into all the nations to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They went out. That was their meat. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus taught me at this time. And you know what? I want you to look down. Because when you can't go out, and when somebody else is hitting the street, and somebody else, and I know people that do it, they're hitting the streets, they're winning souls, they're daily. We got them coming in at the river at our church in Tampa Bay. If you live around here, I pray you go to it, because our pastor, Ronnie Hart Brown, is a great minister of gospel. And there's one focus that we're taught, souls, souls, and more souls. And that's what we need in this life, amen? Souls, souls, more souls. And look here, look at verse 35. Say not ye there are yet 4 months and then come a harvest. Oh, well, maybe they'll get saved. Maybe Uncle Buck will get saved in the last day. Then come a harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. You know when he was saying lift up your eyes, he talked about your spiritual eyes now. Look in the fields. Look in the fields. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. For they are white already to harvest. That soul is ready for harvest. Whenever you come, I tell you what, there is such an amazing atmosphere when heaven, when you win a soul to God, you are winning. You are seeing and you are feeling. You're winning that soul to the kingdom of God. You are seeing and feeling heaven on earth at that moment. How many of you know, oh, my gosh, just your heart's pumping. You got tachycardia. I mean, the Holy Ghost, goosebumps, everything. everything in one, because nothing is greater, no greater miracle than that soul coming to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And then he tells them, look, they were out getting a physical meet, right? They were out working. See, they were out working. He was out ministering. He's ministering while they were out working. They were out working. So you're out working. You know, I might not go to all Guatemala and South Africa and Haiti and wherever. I might not get to go there every week and minister the gospel like some leaders do. And I'm thankful that our pastor does. But I tell you what, when we sow into that, we're going, hallelujah, because look what Jesus said here. He said in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hallelujah. So you know what? When Washington, Brother Frank and I did get to go to Washington. We're so thankful to God for his miracle-working power in that. And that's another testimony. But I tell you what, when those people hit the streets, when people are on the streets and 32,000-plus came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? There was sowing and there was reaping, and we're in it. That's why it's important to be in a church that's winning souls to the kingdom. If they're not, only time I encourage people to leave a church is when they're not preaching the truth from the Word of God, and you know the truth, and they're not winning souls. And their focus is on this, and their focus is on gold dust, and their focus, you know what, you need to go win some souls. Go win some souls. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I sent you to reap that wherein you bestow no labor. He labored at the well for these women. Other men labored, and you entered not into their labors. Hallelujah. Now I want you to read with me verse 39 to 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Come see a man. I said, oh, hallelujah. Come see a man. Glory to God. Those that are in bondage, those that are hurting, those that are in condemnation, those that think that God can never forgive them for their sins, come and see a man tonight. Come and see this man. His name is Jesus. He's going to set you free. Yes, he knows. He can read your mail. He can tell you everything he ever done. Just like he did this woman at the well. But you know what? Come see him. Condemn you. He won't convict you. He'll convict your heart, but he won't put you in misery like so many Christians does. Look what you did, or your family, or your friends. Remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? As I said before, don't let them take you down memory lane. There's nothing but past hurts down there, and there's nothing but the fruit of the enemy. Hallelujah. And so, verse 40, when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. What did he preach? His own word. The same living water he preached to the woman at the well, he went to the city, and he preached to this one. He preached to her uncle. Maybe her mother was there. Maybe her father was there. And I believe the boyfriend was there. Hallelujah. And I believe he got set free that day. And I believe if they hooked up in marriage, they hooked up in marriage. If not, God moved them out from each other. But anyway, they heard the word, the living water. When the living water is there, I'm going to tell you, you'll give up your past. You'll give up those sins in your life. When he has total control of you and the fire of God is in you, you will give it up, because there is nothing that compare. Nothing that compare to that living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And said unto the woman, now we believe. Why did they believe? Not because of what you said. For we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Glory to God. Just had to read it again, because you know what? They begged him to stay 2 days. You know, Jesus had an agenda, and it was the Father's agenda. He went where the Father went. He spoke what the Father wanted him to speak, and he left when the Father told him to leave. But his agenda was to do the will of the Father. Now, I believe an encounter at the well is how Jesus has taught me, studying and meditating. on this story. I want you to do something with me that the Lord gave me when he gave me this word. I want you to shut your eyes. And I want you to go somewhere with me in your spirit. I want you to look for that well. I want you to look for that well in your spirit. Because you got one. You got the living water. Hallelujah. And this well is described as gold. It's about 105 feet deep. And I want you to get that in your spirit. Gold well. About 105 feet deep. It's about 9 foot wide, and it's about 15 foot of water. Hallelujah. And this well has a gold bucket. The well itself is interwoven with a beautiful basket. Now lower. I want you to see that basket. I want you to get it, and I want you to lower that basket. I want you to lower it. And whatever you need from the well, what do you need? Do you need more mercy from God? Do you need more forgiveness? Do you need more compassion for the lost, for others, for yourself? Do you need more love, agape love of God? I want you to draw what you need from that well tonight. I want you to draw from it. And you know the greatest thing about this well? It never, ever, ever runs dry. Hallelujah. That's when we shout and praise. Never runs dry. You know, so you can go to your well. It's your well. Nobody can go there but you. You let Jesus take you. Can't you see him just taking you by the hand to your well? You sit there with him. And he says, lower. You need a healing? Lower the well. You need financial breakthrough? Lower the well. You need direction in your ministry? Lower the well. Lower your bucket. Whatever you need from, you lower it into the well. Hallelujah. Now, this nameless woman received heaven on earth that very day because she had a heart cry to our Lord. And you know, Hebrews 13:6 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We all know that scripture. And sometimes I think when we've been in the Lord a long time, we Christians just kind of go over it. Yeah, the same yesterday, day, forever. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Hallelujah, that's true. Get that in your spirit. He's the same. What he did for the woman at the well, he's going to do for you tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to let your heart be free of your past wounds and receive the eternal living water today. And remember, your past, as some unknown author has said, and I love it, or preacher, your past does not determine your destiny. Your past does not determine your destiny. So those words that's been spoken over you in the past, those that said you would never amount to anything, you're most likely, you know, I'm a nurse. I was most likely not to graduate out of nursing school, you know, because the high ratio of failing in nursing school is phenomenal. And I was probably, nobody ever said it, but I knew it. I know it my own self, and I know it in that other people thought that too. They didn't want me to fail. They were very loving and good to me the whole time I was in nursing school. But they know, wonder if Karen's leaving after this test. Wonder if Karen's leaving after this semester. But I am here to tell you by the Spirit of the Living God that he brought me through every trial. He brought me through every failure that people wanted, that was there. Anything that people did speak of behind closed doors, Jesus brought me through every test. Every test I had to pray in the Holy Ghost. Every test. Now I'm telling you, whatever destiny God's got for you out there, I want you to know right now that he has a plan and a purpose for your life according to Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts to prosper you and give you health. I'm telling you, he wants us to be prosperous, spirit, soul, body, 1 John. He wants us to be prosperous, hallelujah. So your past does not determine your destiny. Jesus wants your heart. He wants your past to lay down because one moment in his presence can change you for eternity, just like the woman in the well. Now let him love you today, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful for your anointing, God, tonight. So thankful for your word that sets the captives free. And, Father, I pray right now that those that are listening, God, if there's anything in their heart that they need to get from the well of the living water, I pray that you direct him by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for leading them and guiding them tonight. Thank you for setting the captives free tonight. Thank you so much, Father, that you love us so much, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe upon you shall not perish but have everlasting life. And, Father, I thank you. If anybody's listening to these airways now or in the time to come, if they're listening and they do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray right now by the Spirit of the living God that you would give your heart to him. And he wants to set you free tonight. And I pray that they would call Deborah on Fire Talk God, and they will give a testimony of how they've been healed, how they've been set free, how they gave their heart to Jesus. I thank you for changing people's destinies tonight, Father, giving them direction in every area they should go. I thank you, Lord, that you're highlighting those in our family, our friends, and those around us, those we don't even know in Walmart and in the stores and wherever. Father, I thank you for highlighting them for the kingdom, because heaven will meet earth in their hearts. And I thank you, God, for your leading and directing, because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And, Father, we give you all praise. We give you all glory. And we know that your word does not return to you void. Hallelujah. That you will accomplish all that you send it forth to accomplish. And we thank you right now. We thank you for setting the people free. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, each and every one that listened tonight. I pray that you'll be blessed, and we ask that you will tune in again. Brother Frank will be here Monday, and if anybody needs a healing, please tune in. And we thank you and praise God for your life tonight. Amen. All right. All of you have a wonderful, blessed night.
Very, very powerful, Sister Karen. My goodness, I felt the anointing very strong in here. I got hit with a joy while you were ministering. It's a good thing my microphone was on mute.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
That was powerful.
Woo, the glory of God is so good.
We got pretty hot in there, too.
I'm hot. I tell you what, I have got to get me some air. Woo, I tell you, Deborah, isn't he good?
He's awesome. And the awesome, his well never, ever runs dry, ever.
Ever. And, yep. And I pondered how many times that woman in the days ahead, you know. I didn't go there tonight, but I pondered how many times she went back just to sit that well. You know, because once you have an encounter with Jesus like that, you want to go back to where your encounter is. You know, there's a special spot for people like Frank and I go. He ministers to at a church in Georgia. It's my favorite church in the whole world. I mean, I love the river. But this little church, I mean, I'm so free there. I tell you, God just, the Spirit of God just meets me in such a deeper way there. You know, there's places, you know.
Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, I mean,
glory, glory, glory.
And we have another hour if you want it.
Well, you know what? I tell you, since I'm not as seasoned as Frank, mm-hmm. I mean, I really wasn't watching the clock, and when I was winding down to going to the well, which I know is about the end of it, I was like, how much time do I have? And I was looking up, it's like perfect timing here, you know. So, you know, I think people, I mean, other than if you're trained in being in the river like we are, I mean, we can be there 5 hours and, you know, we don't even know we're there an hour and a half.
Right.
You know, but other people, they kind of lose, you know, you've heard people say, I'm getting some messages that people are thankful and very good, very anointed and stuff like that. You've heard people say that you don't have much tongue language, because in order to have a lot of tongue language. You have to speak in tongues a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can yabba-dabba-do when you first get the Holy Ghost, but then you're going to move on to shekala mokotala. You know, you're going to move on down the road because at first, you know, you got the milk going in, then you got the meat. You know how to press in. You know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, you know. I tell you what, one of my friends that was listening tonight, she is a powerful, powerful teacher. Frank ordained her. She was the first one of our ordained daughters, and he ordained her. She's in Tennessee. He had, I don't even remember all the price, you know, the money part of it. I think he had this glorious glorious truck, and worth a huge amount of money, and it's paid off. And I just love them testimonies of breakthroughs. They're not putting this on the 6 o'clock news. These breakthroughs that people are getting from our Father, who's taking care of us, that's married to us. You know, they're not putting that on the 6 o'clock news. And I tell you that wonderful testimony of how Brother Frank and I believed God to go to Washington, D.C. with Pastor Rodney. As soon as he was talking about it, we both felt in our spirits that we needed to go. It is an epic event that we will not know how much it touched eternity until we get there. How many lives are changed? I mean, it's glorious. How many people on the street? You know, I had one testimony of Brother Frank and I walking up the street. You know, in Washington, you walk up the street and down the street. There's a lot of walking going on in Washington. They got lots of transportation, cab services and bus services. And, well, I try to walk because their distance in blocks are quite different from our distance in blocks. They would say, we would ask, yeah, where is the monument or where is this located at? They'd say, oh, it's just a couple blocks over. Well, when we would go start walking to that couple blocks, their couple blocks was like mile-long blocks.
It's wow,
a lot different
a long
than
block.
Tampa blocks. And you're going up the hill and down the hill, you know. It's very hilly in Washington, D.C. Never knew that. And so, you know, when the laborers went out for the harvest there, I thought about them a lot because we have one special friend that he is a soul winner, and he was on them streets day and night for however long they were there. And when I first saw him there, I said, oh, my goodness, you've lost a lot of weight. And he said, it's going after the souls. He said, it's going after the souls. And it was so amazing, you know, but... one day we went out, and I think we were sightseeing, and we were going back to the hotel. And this woman, we went in because Brother Frank forgot his phone charger, so we had to go buy him another one. So we went in this place to get him a phone charger, and this we were just getting ready to go out the door, and this woman said, I'm going to go smoke that cigarette. And they said, you are. And I said, oh, no, don't do that. And she goes, I really am trying to quit, she said. And I said, I turned around all of a sudden. The power guy came on me, and I turned around, and I said, you really want to quit this stuff? And she goes, yeah, I do. And I said, you want prayer about it? And she goes, yes, I do. And, man, we prayed, and the power guy hit her. And, you know, those are things. I pray that she never picked up another cigarette again in her life. But the impact of Washington, D.C., like I said, the powerhouse of souls that were saved, the transitioning of the kingdom that day bombarded for the glory of God that time there, it was so amazing. But what I want to testify to the fact is Brother Frank and I believed to go, and I even told him at my job, I told him 2 or 3 months ahead of time, I said, I want to go here, and this is the week I want to go. And I, you know, and the people I work with are not really serving the Lord. And I said, but they said, well, why don't you go? Why don't you just say you're going? I said, because I have to walk in faith, and my husband's walking in faith, and we're praying every day and believing in God that he's going to create miracles for us to go. Well, they just kind of look at you strange when people don't believe in God, you know, and they don't believe in miracles, and they believe their job is giving their finances, and they believe their job is their source. And we know that it's not their source, it's their resource, and they only have it because our Father loves people so dearly and gave them that job. And He blesses them. He reigns on the just, He reigns on the unjust, the Bible says. So praise God for that. And so I just kept in faith, walking in faith, and one day the Lord spoke to me, and He goes, Karen, what'd you do with the gift of faith I gave you? And He showed me in my spirit, like, put it up in the closet shelf, the gift of faith. He said, you need to pull out the gift of faith. You need to walk in the gift of faith. And you need to trust me and believe me. It takes the gift of faith in a lot of areas of our life. It takes the gift of faith to operate in the supernatural God. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm so thankful to be taught about the gift of faith at our church, because I've known a lot of men and women of God, but I see I haven't met a lot of them that walk in a deep gift of faith like our pastors do. I mean, our pastors walk in some great deep, great spirit of the gift of, or great gift of faith, like nobody I've ever encountered. I mean, when I leave church and the gift of faith is operating there, you know, because some people only want to go get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Goose pimples, you know, they want that on their skin. But, you know, I'm telling you that we're taught the meat of the word and about the gift of the spirit, and you just got to know and pick up when the gift of faith in operation. You got to grab that in the atmosphere and go with it and know that God is no respecter of person, and what He's doing for one, He's doing for another. And that's why that one of the commandments is thou shalt not covet. Because I can't covet Deborah on God giving her a new car. I say, praise God, Deborah. God's blessed you with a new car. And, you know, if mine's falling apart, I'm going to pray and say, God, I know you blessed Deborah. I'm thankful for Deborah's car you've given her. But, Father, I need a car, too. You're my daddy, too. I need a car. And, you know, you just let that gift of faith operate. I love the gift of faith. These last days in time, we need the gift of faith. We need the gift of, we're going to need it in such a phenomenal way that you better pray and study about the gift of faith, because it is needs to be in great operation in these days ahead. Amen?
Amen to that.
Amen. So we kept believing God, and so finally I was, you know, the week for us to go was approaching. And I had listened to the Lord. I told my husband about it. We prayed. We believed God. And I repented because I hid the gift of faith. I put it up on a shelf. Do not put the gifts of God on a shelf. He didn't give us gifts to hide them. And that's why He said, don't hide your light under a bushel. You know, let the world see. You know, let the world know. And so I tell you what, we started praying and believing God, and it was like Tuesday. It was a Tuesday. Suddenly, I believe in the suddenlies of God, amen?
Amen.
Suddenly, God will turn it around in the midnight hour. He's going to turn things around on healings. He's going to turn it around. You're believing for a healing. You're believing for a financial miracle. We were believing for that financial miracle. And suddenly, the call came. But 10 minutes before the call came from my husband, my boss said to me, Karen, it's Tuesday. Are you going on vacation next week or not? We need to make plans. And I looked at her and I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll let you know by Thursday for sure, by Thursday. See, I put a mandate on the anointing. Put a mandate. Go or stay. This is it. I said, by Thursday, I'll let you know. I said, we're still believing God for our miracles, our financial miracle. And I tell you, it wasn't 10 minutes, and the phone rang, and my husband hardly ever calls me at work. And he called me, and he was weeping. And he had gotten a phone call. And that phone call said, the Lord told us to bless your ministry and to bless you and pay your way. to Washington, D.C. I tell you what, I was shouting up and down. I know my coworker thought I'd lost it because they already knew that we might get this way at our church. And I tell you what, it was so phenomenal. It was just spoken. 10 minutes later, the call comes through, and we know we're gone, and we're shouting hallelujah, Brother Frank and I. But listen, the Lord didn't stop there. He got a phone call that night. I'm telling you, when the gift of faith operates, it is an abundant blessing, exceedingly abundantly all you could ask or receive. Amen? So
Amen.
That night, this other friend, Brother Frank Cass, he called him up and said, hey, I'm overnighting you X amount of dollars because the Lord told me to bless you. We weeped again before the Lord and thanked him for his phenomenal blessing. And then, that wasn't it either. The next day, Brother Frank got another phone call from a friend pastor his in Washington, Maryland. And he said, listen, the Lord told me you're coming and for me to pay your hotel while you're here.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God.
That's awesome.
It was such an awesome blessing of God that we had prayed and believed God for to go to be a part of this epic event of souls, massive souls, and touching Washington, D.C. by the power and the glory of God. It was phenomenal. So we're so thankful. So now Brother Frank and I are believing to travel to another country in the next, you know, by spring. In spring, we want to travel to this. We want to travel to Germany. And we are believing God. And so we're activating the gift of faith. And you know what? God is going to do it. Amen. So yesterday I told my coworkers, we were talking about who's taking vacation and when. And I said, well, I just want you to know that in the springtime, I'm not sure which yet, praying about it, but we want to go to Germany. I said, but we have to believe God, because they said, wow, that's going to cost some money. And I said, well, we have to believe God for it. And you know, one of my coworkers turned around, looked at me, and she said, well, I'm sure that he'll hear you and give you some money again. I said, that is faith. I said, so the first thing I'm going to do is speak it to you, because you're going to watch him and you're going to see him do it. So he will do it. I said, he will do it. When your purpose is to go forth and touch the nations of the world, God will do it. God will do it.
Amen.
I speak that so that those that will hear will know that study the gift of faith. Watch the wonderful times that the gift was in operation, and I tell you, it is phenomenal. And again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always be the same. So what he's done for Brother Frank and I mean, we're believing him for big things right now, big things to move, and just stretching our faith together with God to move in many ways in our life. And when that happens, we will share on Fire Talk. Amen?
Amen to that. That'd be awesome. I'd love to hear the testimonies when all of those things happen. And you know, I believe in with you that you'll be, that God provide, because he's the one that put that in your heart, that desire in your heart. So he's gonna foot the bill for it. And he just happens to use people, or he just, you know, however he does it in a way that we wouldn't even expect, that we might think he'd do it this
Amen.
Way or that way. And he ends up doing it in another way that we never would have dreamed of.
Amen. Oh, it's phenomenal. I mean, Brother Frank and I have so many testimonies of the goodness of God upon us that, you know, and that is why the Bible tells us to testify of his goodness and to tell others and to remember. You know, the Psalms is full of talking about what our Father did for his children of Israel. It's full of how he parted the sea and how he delivered them out of Egypt. And you know, the Bible constantly says, do not forget these things, but remember them, you know, and write them and be thankful for them and tell them to your children, you know, and pass it down. That's why I love the Jewish people, because they pass down stories for generations and generations. And it's phenomenal, because that's what our Father taught them to do, and that's what we need to do. And tell them, because, you know, my miracle that happened 10 years ago might be in the archive of my heart somewhere buried there. But you know what? It might be the miracle that you need, Deborah, tomorrow.
Right.
And so that's why we have to testify of the goodness of God, that it goes on, and because his mercy and his love is continuing. It's constantly continuing upon his people. And when we stifle the Holy Ghost and not testify, you know, because just like that woman that stopped smoke, you know, that wanted to stop smoking, God did that for me in one day. I mean, I went to church. Brother Frank's uncle, who is a powerful, wonderful man of God named Brother Murphy, he was a powerhouse of God, and the Lord took him home a couple years ago. He was like a second dad to Brother Frank, and he loved him so. But when he laid hands on me and I rededicated my life back to the Lord Jesus Christ, that day I walked out of church and I didn't smoke again. I still testify to that fact to people. And they say, oh, I want to quit smoking. I know how you can quit smoking. Let me pray for you. I said, you know, because God did it for me, he'll do it for you. You know, I use my faith if they don't have a faith. If they got the want and the desire, because God says he will give us the desires of our heart. And that's what we got to do. And he reigns on all of his children. He reigns on us. You know, the goodness of God, he reigns on the good and the bad and the indifferent. You know, he's blessing people. When people get a new car, a new house, I'm always saying, praise God, look what God gave you. I said, you know, the Bible, and I'll tell them, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So you didn't get that from the devil. You got that from our Father that created you. You know, it doesn't matter. If they don't want to hear it, I still want to testify the goodness of God. We have to testify. We have to be available to testify every day, because somebody needs something from our Father. And most of all, they need his love, unconditional love that he has. And especially in today's age when there's no, not a lot of love out there, a lot of hate. Oh, I drive an hour to work each way, and I'm telling you, I see some hate on the road. It is phenomenal. But, you know, you just turn your radio up and keep singing, praising God. And I got the Bible playing, you know, from my phone through the Bluetooth and listening to the Word of God or whatever, you know, being blessed by some friends, but talking about the goodness of God. But you just have to share the love. You know, I'm cheerful, and people notice that. Why are you so happy? Because the living God dwells in me. The Spirit of the living God dwells in me. And, you know, when you think about that, the Spirit of God dwelling in you can't do nothing but smile. And it's so contagious. And I really like those hard people. Don't ever want to smile at you. I really like to talk to them. Hello, how are you today? Even if they don't want to, they might not like me because I'm too smiley. But I'll tell you what, I go by them every day and I say, hey, how are you today? Good to see you. Whatever, because you know what? That is sharing the love of God, no matter how people feel or if they want you or don't want you. But he's a good God, and he wants us to share his love today and share our testimonies with others and be a blessing unto others in many ways. Many ways we can be a blessing. Just a smile, and you don't even have to say nothing, you know. I like my boss. He's a Christian, and he's got on back of his phone, just be nice. And he's constantly giving lectures about it to people, you know. And sometimes if things get a little hairy in there, you know, he'll hold up his phone. Just be nice. You know, it doesn't cost anything just to be nice. Amen.
Right.
So praise God, Deborah. Praise God.
That is so awesome. Yes, he is good. And I was thinking tonight, I mean, about so many different things of what you're sharing and on the message that you brought tonight, which was very powerful. And I was thinking about how you spoke about how Jesus is forever married to the backslider. And there's so many people who, you know, I mean, who just to always remember that he's married to them.
Yeah. You know, Isaiah says in 52 or something, it's in Isaiah, I can tell you, and the Lord gave me this in a very dark time of my life, and it is, your God is your husband. And, you know, it's powerful, whether you're married or single. And I know our pastor talked on marriage and singles, which was phenomenal Sunday. And whether you're married or single, I love that scripture. He's your husband. So if you're married and your husband is not being your husband, and whatever you're going through, if you're married and that's happening, just remember that God is your husband. He's married to you. He will take care of your plumbing. He will take care of the nights when you're laying in the bed and you're crying your heart out because somebody's being mean to you, verbally or physically, whatever. Your father is your husband. He will take care of you financially. He does it day in and day out. So, you know, that he loves the backslider, of course he loves the backslider, and he is our husband. And that we are married to him. You know, that we are the bride. And even the ones that cry out, I remember in my sin days, I would cry out to God because once you know God, and even if you leave him, you know that he's still listening to you. You know he knows what he's watching you, and you know he knows what you're doing and this and that. But I tell you what, I can testify to the fact that he listened to me. Then when I cried out to him, he made a way when there seemed to be no way. He rained on me just like he was raining on, you know, anybody that was serving him. And I'm so thankful that he does, you know. And the backslider is very near and dear to my heart because they're broken out there. There's so many of them. They're offended at this and, you know, they're Matthew 24. They're offended at everything. They're offended because the preacher didn't touch their hand or say hi to them or whatever. You know, offense is a horrible thing, and it's another long story. But you know what? God loves the backslider that's left. You know, one time I was talking to a woman, and she told me she quit going to church 20 years ago because every Christmas and every Easter, somebody would come in and take her pew, her seat at church. She said, and no other time would they go to church, but boy, come Christmas and Easter, they would come and sit in her seat, and that made her mad, so she quit going to church. I looked at her, and I said, honey, are you really going to go to hell because you didn't get your seat in church? I'm like, a sinner? I said, really, you need to readjust your thinking. I said, the devil took you out of the pew and put you into the world to be lost and maybe go to hell if you don't change your way of thinking. And ask God forgiveness that somebody else needed to come in there and hear the word of God. And nobody got their name on the seats at the church. I it was something that I teach on because I can't believe that people would leave the presence of the living God and go into darkness because of something like that. But we're to love the backslider, and we're to pray for him. But you know what? When God says he's the husband to the backslider, we ought to be praying for him. Amen? Because I want somebody praying for my backsliding family, and I know you do too, Deborah.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen to that.
Is good to be. And when you're single and you are alone, I know some friends that are, and they'll call me and they say they're very lonely, you know. They're just so tired of being alone. But you know what? I love what our pastor said. If you're feeling lonely, it's because you're not in the presence of God. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. And I understand those things, you know. I was that way for a while. And Brother Frank understands he was that way. But when you're busy with the things of God, I tell you what, it is phenomenal how he'll take care of those things. Amen? And but when you're single, God is your husband. He'll take care of the plumber. He'll take care of the mechanic. You know, he'll make a way when there seems to be no way. He'll wrap his loving arms around you at nighttime. So there's nobody like our God. Amen, Deborah?
That is so true. God is, he's everything we need. He's I am, and makes me think about, you could just put how he says, I am, and he's talking when Moses encounters him at the burning bush, and how he says, who shall I say sent me? And he says, I am that, you know, I am, and then you could put like a blank after that, and then put whatever you need in there, when you need something else, erase that, put another thing that you need, because he is everything we need.
Yeah, amen. That's good. That's right. He's everything we need. He's our El Shaddai, you know. We go into the names of God, and I love the names of God, and I love when Brother Frank teaches on them, because they're just so phenomenal, you know. The different names for different reasons why you need him. You know, he's our El Shaddai. He's our everything. He is our everything. Amen. So, amen. We're glad to be with you tonight, Deborah, and praise God for Fire Talk Radio. And we pray to be with you in the coming weeks ahead, and just be sensitive to the Spirit of God and what he wants to do in our lives. Amen.
Amen to that. It's very important to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and what he wants in our lives, and to be obedient to it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Well, I'm mm-hmm. thankful, Deborah, and until we get on the air again, it's been my pleasure to be submissive to the Holy Ghost tonight and be on Fire Talk Radio with you.
It's been awesome having you, Karen. I'm really so excited that you've been here tonight, and I'll talk with you later, and I look forward to Brother Frank being on as well again on Monday.
So Amen. Thank you for all you do, Deborah.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Yeah. It's my privilege, my honor to do it.
Amen. We pray for those around the world that God's going to do phenomenal things, and they're going to call you and give praise reports. They're going to start rolling in the name of Jesus, and we're going to shout to God and give him all honor and glory for all the great things he's doing in the people's lives that's listening and that needs a touch of heaven on earth. Amen.
Amen to that. It's been wonderful. It's a powerful, very anointed message. I was very blessed by that message, Karen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Deborah, and we'll be talking soon, I'm sure. God bless you. Have a wonderful night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Well, everyone, that was a very, very powerful, powerful message, anointed time in the Holy Ghost and his word. It was, I learned a lot of things, and just looking at that story from a different perspective and all the ways that Sister Karen brought it to us. And so it was very, very awesome. I just wanted to let you know we've got about 20 minutes. If you want to call into the radio station, you can call 646-668-2093. That is 646-668-2093. I also wanted to let you know about an awesome Bible college. It's called River Bible Institute. It has the River School of Government and the River School of Worship. It's an awesome, awesome school. And I did 2 years there. And so many people go through that
training and preparation for what God has for them. And then God either launches them out or they stay at the church for a while, just whatever God has for them in God's perfect timing, then they launch out and or do whatever God's will is for their life. And it's an awesome school. They're actually going to be doing their midterms this week. So they're already well into the first quarter. Their midterms are on Thursday and Friday, and they're doing that, but there's a semester, or another quarter, I should say, that starts in, not a semester, however they do it, starts in January, and that would be River Bible Institute, is the Bible college, and I think they've got some other things going on, but I know that they have another semester rolling in. I'm just going to play an audio for you that's going to describe to you what that's about. So hold on for the audio.
In the world, there is a problem. People are hurting. People are empty. Some very alone. People are broken. Many are lost. What they need is hope. They need healing. They need love. They need a Savior. They need someone who will lay down their life. Someone with the fire of God who will hear God's call and bring Jesus to the world. What they need is a revivalist. There is a place called the River Bible Institute, a place dedicated to training believers how to live, minister, and flow in the anointing. And it's for anyone, whether your heart is in business or full-time ministry. This is a place the Word of God is taught and demonstrated. The Word will challenge those of you attending to find clarity in your calling and deepen your relationship with the Lord. It will provide you with a new perspective on how to reach the lost for Christ and live in God's life-changing power. It is a place where you will be empowered to make a difference and set your world on fire with revival. God is calling for all believers. Will you answer?
Will you answer? Do you feel like you have the call of God on your life? If the answer is yes, I feel I have the call of God on my life. I feel like I want to go further and deeper in the things of God and go to another level with the things of God and in the Bible, then the River Bible Institute is for you. And it gives me great pleasure and excitement to tell you that I have been given the authority to give you a scholarship to go to the River Bible Institute. Yay! That's exciting. So if you feel like you've got the call of God on your life, and you want to go to Bible college, then you can go to riverbibleinstitute.com and you can fill out application online. You can go to riverschoolofworship.com and riverschoolofgovernment.com. Probably a better number to call for that would be you could call 813-971-9999 and then just let the person know that you want to talk to the school part and let them know that Deborah from Fire Talk Radio gave them a scholarship. And so and also if you feel like you have friends or even family members, even if they're a distant cousin you haven't spoken with in a while, or you don't you don't always talk all the time. If you feel like you know of someone, even if it's somebody you just met or have seen at the store, and you know, you see the hand of God on their life, you see the call of God on their life, then I give you the authority. You can give them a Bible, a scholarship for Bible college. They can come to Tampa, Florida. The address is 3738 River International Drive, Tampa, Florida, 33610. And you yourself can actually give them, you can give them a scholarship. So, and that right there is very, very exciting. So I give you a scholarship if you feel like you want to go to Bible college. And also those listening who know of somebody that has a call of God on their life and talk to them and they want to start in January, then you can give them a scholarship. And if those people that you know of somebody, it just, however it is, just let it keep on going. And scholarship is available. I've been given the authority by the dean and by the administration to give you a scholarship, and that is really, really exciting. So pass the word along if that's you or somebody else that you know, and call the number. Let them know that Deborah from Fire Talk Radio gave them a scholarship. And I'm looking forward to you coming to school. I'm looking forward to you fulfilling the plan of God in your life and the preparation time that you're going to have with the Lord. Now, we've got about 12 minutes left. And I just want to let you know that if nobody has ever told you that God loves you and has a great plan for your life, I'm here to tell you right now, God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. God forbid if you were to die this very second, do you know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? If you're not sure, you know, I want to share with you that the Holy Bible reads, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to make sure you're going to go to heaven, just mean it with your heart and repeat out loud after me. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again from the dead and are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am born again. I am forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. And my friend, I want to tell you right now, if you prayed that prayer along with me, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you all of your sins are forgiven you. Always remember to run to God and not from God, because he loves you so much. He has a great plan for your life. So I feel by the Holy Ghost that some of you are dealing with unforgiveness by what people have maybe done to you, whether they meant to do it to you or not. Or if it was it just whatever it was that you're dealing with, that people are dealing with unforgiveness. And God says, Jesus told us, if we will not forgive the people that have harmed us, then we will not be forgiven. So it's very important that we forgive.
Jesus, he forgave us when he was hanging from the cross. He had all the sins of the world on him, the disease, the sicknesses, the pains, everything upon himself he took. And he was nailed to a cross and suffered horrifically, torture. But as he's up there, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you don't forgive, and if you hold unforgiveness and bitterness inside of you, you tie his hands. You tie the hands of the Father to forgive you, because he won't go against his word. And if you don't forgive, how can you be forgiven? You know, there was a man that had a fight with his wife, and I guess they had an argument, and it was pretty bad, and it was so heated to the point where I guess he just took off. He didn't forgive her. He was mad at her. He's very angry. I think he got in a car wreck or something, and he died. Physically, he died. He died. He was dead. And the wife was not. She was determined that she was not going to let him die, or stay dead, I should say. So she kept praying for him and believing God, and praying until that he came back from the dead. And you know, and then he was so grateful because God had shown heaven and hell, and then he was told that he was going to go to hell because he did not forgive his wife. He had not yet forgiven. I guess he's holding the grudge, and he didn't forgive her. So he was going to go to hell because he did not forgive. So whatever it is, whether the act done against you was big or small, it whatever it was, in order to keep our hearts right, we need to forgive. And in fact, I'm going to play just a quick, because we have about 7 minutes, give or take. And I'm going to play something for you that is an illustration of forgiveness. There's Gary Ridgway was a serial killer. He killed over 38 women. And he was in court getting sentenced, and I guess they gave the family an opportunity to come and say things to the accused, because he pleaded guilty so that he wouldn't get the death penalty. And anyway, it's a long story. You can look it up. But this is a clip. It's a 1-minute clip about some people, family members of the victims, coming to speak with him.
Gary Ridgway sat there stone-faced as victims' relatives damned him and mocked him.
He's an animal. I wish for him to have a long, suffering, cruel death.
He's going to go to hell, and that's where he belongs.
But then the emotionless facade finally cracked when the father of one of his victims appeared to surprise him with a dose of human kindness.
Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and that is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir.
Well, that's powerful. That's a father of his daughter that got murdered and raped by this man, and it was hard, but he knew he had to forgive and keep his heart right and forgive the man. And the forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for us, and it's for our relationship with God, and it's for keeping our heart right. You know, there's Corrie Ten Boom, I may not be pronouncing it right, but she was a victim of the Holocaust, and she was in a concentration camp, and her guard, you know, she She was out later, and she ran into the man. The guard came up to her, who had abused her and her family terribly, and said that he now had found Jesus and had Jesus in his heart and knew that he was forgiven for all those things, and he knew that God had forgiven him. And he asked God if he could have an opportunity to ask one of the people that he had harmed for forgiveness, and it was her. And she said she couldn't do it. She said all she could feel was hate for the things that he had done to her. But then she remembered the scripture that I told you about that says if we do not forgive our enemies or just forgive people that have hurt us, we're not going to be forgiven. And she knew that if she died that very second, she wouldn't be ready to go. She would not be forgiven. She would go to hell. So she asked the Lord, and she stood on the scripture about the love of God is shed abroad in us, and he helps us to forgive. So she forgave her torturer, the guard at the concentration camp. That's a powerful, powerful thing. And it doesn't matter if maybe somebody took your seat, like Karen was talking about in church, the place where you normally sit at, and they come in and sit where you normally do, and you get offended and you leave because maybe it's once or twice more than what you would like it to be. So whether it's big or small, it's important in your eyes, but the important thing is keeping your heart right and forgiving. So I want you to say this prayer of forgiveness after me. Just repeat it after me. I've only got 2 minutes and 30 seconds, so bear with me. It's going to be quick. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I forgive everybody, including myself, whoever hurt, neglected, or abused me. I release them to you. I receive your peace. Fill me with your peace, your joy, and your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. I will let you know that since you have forgiven, you are forgiven. And just keep your heart right and just anything you've done. Forgiving ourselves is sometimes hard too, but forgive yourself too. Don't be so hard on yourself and beat yourself up. The Lord says when we're walking in self-condemnation, we are coming into agreement with the devil and his lies. Why not come into agreement with me and the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So come into agreement with the Lord. Come into agreement that you are loved, you are valuable, you are accepted in the Beloved, and he thinks the world of you, so much so that he gave it all just for you to be the only person in the world. He still would have died for you. Go to revival.com if you have any prayer requests. 866-857-4877. Any emails, prayer requests, go to firetalkradio2@yahoo.com. And on Saturday, I'll be live at 8 o'clock, and then next Monday at 8, and then Tuesday at 6 or 7. And let you know, until we meet again, I love you, God loves you, and you're accepted in the Beloved. Until we meet again, you're a priceless jewel in his sight.